Welcome to Supervision Not Required, Episode 6. Today I'm going to interview Adnan Cartwright, and we're going to talk about how to use business intelligence to stop cyber criminals. We're going to talk about optimizing your infrastructure costs so that you can get enough ROI and savings on your infrastructure so you can then pump that money into the rest of your business. And we're doing a case study of how he actually did this with a real company here in South Florida. So Adnan, what are you going to show us today?
I'm going to show you how we leverage the Microsoft Azure platform along with Office 365 and a little bit of Power BI to help us not only grow a business, but to secure it too as well with the little investment from the actual organization itself.
That sounds awesome. So we're actually going to do a real use case today then?
That is correct, David.
So who's the company?
The company is the Southern Florida Minority Supplier Development Council, or SFMSDC for short. They have grown because we utilize Microsoft technologies such as Office 365 and Azure again. They have actually taken over the entire state. So now they're newly named Florida State Minority Supplier Development Council. And the exciting part is because we onboarded Microsoft technologies, we are onboarding other offices throughout the state of Florida. So offices like Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, Tallahassee, all of those will be onboarded by the end of the year.
So what's helping enable this onboarding process?
We're actually taking the money that we're saving in infrastructure costs and we're pumping it into other aspects of the business, such as marketing, better systems for the clients, and on the same token with that too as well, because the money that we're utilizing in terms of Office 365 is literally low cost compared to the traditional on-premises solution.
So what were you doing on-premises then?
The only thing that we're doing on-premises is we have a redundant solution for Azure for Active Directory, and we have that sync to the cloud to Azure Active Directory. We are leveraging some instances of SQL Server. We have built our own custom CRM solution on-premises, but that's replicated to the cloud.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So did they have other competitors in the market when they first started down this path?
They did have other competitors in the market, and hence they have been eliminated since the entire state of Florida.
Kaboom.
Correct. A lot of the issues that they were pretty much facing was the system was always down, slow bandwidth, 403 error site not available. All of that's been eradicated now. We have the website actually in Microsoft Azure. We have application insights that pulls the telemetry from that site. We also leverage Power BI and we port that in to see exactly what's going on. So we have great telemetry on what's going on.
So one question that I'll usually get is, that sounds difficult. I'm not used to doing this kind of work stream. What's this Azure thing? How hard was it to actually transition some of the skills of the workforce into being able to do these things?
It wasn't very hard because we were leveraging Microsoft technologies already. It was a one, two, three step that Office 365 and Azure brought to the table. We were able to pretty much import our domain right into Office 365 for no issues. When we looked at getting our users for identity and access into the cloud, Azure Active Directory took care of all of that. The platform itself has grown over time. It has gained a whole lot more in terms of its use simplicity for ease of deployment, for growth, and for return on investment.
Excellent. So what were some of the pieces that you're actually using? What are the workloads that are actually running in Azure? Can you tell us any details on that?
So one of the key components, and I love this story, every year there's a gala that the FSMSDC holds. On-premise, they're not PCI compliant. In Azure, they are. So what we did, we partnered with a third-party company that helped us build the billing solution so that we can process credit cards in the cloud, ship it off to our merchant, get paid. The best part about it is that because that server only runs for about a month at its maximum peak, we just start it up.
Process your transactions and shut it down. Don't need to pay for it unless it's paying you.
Exactly.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I think that's really incredible that it's PCI compliant in Azure, but not on-prem. A lot of the, you work the communities too. A lot of times you'll get the question of, well, what about cloud security? It's like, seems to be a little bit more up there perhaps, or is it just a compliance level?
The security was a major impact. Even up until now, what had happened was we were attempting, well, an individual was trying to breach us. They got hold of one of our user identities. Because we had our user identities synced within Azure Active Directory, we were notified by Microsoft themselves to say that, hey, this person is logging in Miami, and then they're logging in Tampa. That's too short of a login, too long of a drive. It can't happen. So we took control over that identity. We got control over our network. And now we, when we get into it, I can show you the Microsoft Operations Management Suite, which we leverage to watch the length of the attack and how everything is pretty much slowing down right now as we made certain adjustments infrastructure-wise and user identity-wise.
Let's see what that looks like. I'm out of questions. I want to see how you guys blocked the guy coming in, stealing an identity. I mean, that's a huge question is cloud security. And I want to kind of see the nuts and bolts on how you made it work.
Well, let's go into it. So here we're logged into the Microsoft Operations Management Suite. And I have to give my compliments to Evan and Ed Wilson, who pretty much are really a part of the OMS team in terms of building out this product. It's newly added to Azure. And from the time of its inception, it has really grown to where it is right now. And we can expect more to come. But to get back on task, we're taking a look at the EFS MSDC and how we utilize this platform to see exactly what's going on, the user identities that we're attacking, how we utilize this platform to take control. So I'm going to head here into security and audit. In security and audit, I can get an overview in terms of what's happening. Initially, 7 days ago, where it says no threats detected, we had a threat there. It's no longer there anymore, which is cool. So we got insight to the information right off the bat. There's nothing to go digging through. There's no audits to pull. Everything is presented to you right here in a centralized view. If I take a little step further, I can see what's going on in terms of the alerts, in terms of notable issues. I do have two computers with insufficient protection. Those are two servers that I just deployed out yesterday that I need to put antivirus on. And then the accounts logged on to, we have a 51 account with information, meaning that we're pretty much good to go and we're okay. But I also have two locked accounts. That's not good. So let's take a look there. So in our search for those two accounts that were locked out, these two accounts really aren't accounts that we utilize on premises. So we can see now that the attacker is guessing. If I go back to the home button and I go right back into security and audit, let's spread it out to see how much we were under attack, say about 7 days ago. So I'll go to identity and access. And in identity and access, we get a little more clearer and more in-depth view in terms of what's going on. I can see here that this user account, Trisha, that's no longer a user account or not even a user account, they tried to get into it 119 times, and 100% of it failed.
That's a good sign for you guys,
That's a very good sign for us, and we can see in terms of the successful logins, and you can check this against an audit log, whereas that you have alerts that can be set up, whereas that if your users that are on-premise are pretty much synced to Azure Active Directory, if these users are the users that are logging on, fine, you're good to go. But if there's a user that logged on that doesn't fit those parameters, an alert can be set through OMS, alert you so you can be proactive in terms of what's going on.
Oh man, it's cool. So you guys got alerted when this guy tried logging in 120 times?
Exactly.
Was that an alert that you set up yourself, or was that one that was default?
It was an alert that you have to set up yourself.
So how do we set an alert?
So to set an alert, you simply go into the actual setting or the solution that you want to select the alert for. So we'll head right back into security and audit. And in security audit, I really want to set an alert on identity and access. So I'll select that. And then from here, let's go ahead and deal with the account. So I'll pick Trisha for the time being. In the account settings for that specific user, right to the top, there's the alert. I can simply select it, set the alert based on the parameters that I want and I need to view, or what I think is the issue in terms of attacks or even a breach. And if I just want to follow her behavior, I can see exactly what's going on. I can set up my email notifications right over here to the right side. And then I can also have a runbook for Azure Automation with a webhook to get things situated and done.
Yeah, shut down. Exactly. That's exactly what that's going to do. Wow.
So if you really look at it from the holistic approach, on-premises solutions that will give us this exact functionality, We priced it out, and it was an estimate of over $20,000 because there was different infrastructure and different pieces that had to be added. But the Azure Cloud with OMS, it gave us this functionality. You know what the best part about it is?
It was $100.
No, sir. The plan that we're on now, because we have a retention period of 7 days, it's free.
It's free?
It's free.
So you went from $20,000 down to free.
Exactly.
And that's why you open offices.
Exactly.
This is a nerd question. Can I pass parameters to the runbook?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If we head back out to the home version of the, if we head back to the home dashboard of the operations, the OMS suite, we come here to the solutions gallery. In the solutions gallery, we have different status that Microsoft, in terms of the solutions, have already put out. So if they want to take a look at issues pertaining to AD replication status, op dependency monitoring that's coming soon, Azure Network Analytics. There's a whole slew of solutions.
These all plug into the operations management suite.
You got it, sir.
That's badass.
The cool part about it is that if a solution in the gallery that's not tailored to you isn't available, you can create one yourself. Yes, we've used another solution. What we've done, we've used a SQL assessment. So what the SQL assessment does, it takes a look at our SQL Server deployment. And it gives us guidelines according to best practices pertaining to Microsoft deployments, what they would see or what they would consider to be best practices.
Oh, cool.
The cool thing about it is that from the data layer, even though I don't have any data, it'll give me recommendations based on what's going on there so I can make the necessary corrections to get the optimal efficiency from my SQL Server and from the data layer within it.
So these various plugins basically take a look at the raw data that you have in your infrastructure and can make recommendations or actions based upon that information. And if that's not enough, you can go in and add your own extensions into it yourself. That's pretty awesome. Wow.
The cool thing about this tool is that it's only locked down to your imagination, right? Or really locked down to your needs. There's so much you can do and add to the product to make it a whole lot better, to make it, to actually tailor it to your organization as where it is now and where it is to grow and where you're seeing it growing in the years to come. So if we were to go back to the home dashboard, change tracking is one of my favorites. So if I was to select this, it takes a look at the software and the services that's running on every machine that we have the services deployed to.
So can I see software as far as if I install a third-party piece of software on a machine?
Most definitely.
So no way.
Yes,
does this work Linux and Windows?
Yes, it does support Linux and Windows. So I can see exactly what's going on in terms of one of the servers that I have deployed to. It'll let me know that updates from Microsoft, and it's going to load more as you request more data. Now, you can parse this in terms of pull out certain sections, in terms of dates, times, in terms of the audit, in terms of the report that you're looking for.
Wow, that's cool. So, and then I can see the software that's from third party. So if I've got like Visual Studio, or if I have, maybe not Visual Studio, what's something in Camtasia installed on a box, I
Correct.
Can see Camtasia's there.
Correct. So what I am going to do here, just to give you a perfect example of that, I'm going to change platform from the customer zone to my own so you can get a more granular view of that.
Okay, so now that we're in yours, you can show me where we can see what software specifically in version is installed on a piece on a server?
Exactly. So I'm going to go to change tracking. And in change tracking, I'm going to head right here into the fisg.us computer. And it'll give me the exact detail in terms of a remove application. Like we had GoToMeeting, Roblox, this was installed and now removed, modified, Microsoft Visual Studio. It gets that detail, date, time, the whole kit and caboodle.
Wow, that's really cool. So if anyone's ever wondering where to get some data sources from, just stand one of these up and manage a few servers and you'll kick out a bunch of data.
Exactly. Now, one of the cool parts that I love about this product, the installation in terms of deployment was very, very simple. All you have to do, again, come back to the home dashboard, and in the home dashboard, you will go into settings. In settings, you will come here to your connected sources, and you can download the agents for both x86 and x64 Architect for Windows, and to download the agent for Linux, which is a preview.
Wow. Okay, so you just download the agent and install the agent on the server, and it connects up to your system, and That's it.
That's it. And you would just have to enter the workspace ID along with the primary key. You're all set and good to go. Now, if you're utilizing a System Center Operations Manager on-premise, you can actually tie this in and have that data port right into Operations Manager on-premises to enhance the reporting level and to add solutions that on-premises can't do at the current time.
Wow, that's cool.
That's very cool. One of the things that I'm really looking forward to, it connects with AWS storage.
No way.
It's coming soon.
Microsoft did that.
It's coming soon.
This is a different world. I had to write my first iPhone app, and then I saw somebody on stage deploy to AWS. Now we're adding AWS support into this and managing Linux servers. Just mind blown.
Yep. Microsoft is definitely taking a different approach, and it is focusing on the entire environment of the infrastructure, and assign that it's not just a Microsoft shop.
Cool. So how are you tying in Office 365 for the customer?
So Office 365 for the customer, let's hop back over to their dashboard so I can show you.
So we're at the old Azure portal. And so how's this tying into, what are we looking at first off?
So we're looking at the directory of users for the SFMSDC and how we pretty much synced all of their identities from on-premises to the cloud.
Wow. So how hard of a process do you think that was?
It wasn't very hard. We utilized Azure Active Directory Connect. All you simply had to do was pretty much get your organizational units in order, install the software, verify your credentials, and it did the sync initially for you.
Wow. Cool. So once you bring these identities in here, what does that enable you to do?
Well, it enables us for single sign-on for the users themselves to do passwords reset, multi-factor authentication, anomaly detection from a geographical worldwide perspective.
That's how you found that guy who's trying to hack into you from like South Florida and Tampa simultaneously?
You got it.
Okay, cool. So just install some packages, upload your credentials, and start enabling some of these awesome anomaly detection features. Anything else? So how does this tie into Office 365?
So Office 365 leverages Azure Active Directory for their identity and access services. So if we were to jump over, so now that we're logged into the Office 365 portal, one of the things I really want to show you to emphasize is how the Office 365 portal synchronizes the user identity and access with Azure AD. So if we were to head into the users and identities in terms of active users, you can clearly see that the users that we had from Azure Active Directory is now present in Office 365. Now, what this allows us and enables to do, it allows us to take advantage of the Office 365 applications with the same user ID and credentials.
Oh, cool. So anything that gets deployed out to Office 365 or any of the tools there, you have the capability of leveraging with a single sign-on that you're using on-prem in Azure and now Office 365, so really simplifying your entire authentication and security ecosystem.
Exactly, so with exactly. So Office 365 with the combination of Azure does all of the heavy lifting for us, and you can see how utilizing these platforms allowed the company itself to grow where they are today.
So what are some of the features on Office 365 that they're taking advantage of that's enabling those things, and why is that this kind of security model so important for that particular aspect?
So one of the things that they're really, really taking advantage of is Power BI and the telemetry that comes with it. They utilize that pertaining to their application insights to see where the traffic of their website is coming from, whether it be actually here in the US or outside the US in terms of new territorial advantages that they can gain.
Okay, so do you have access to Power BI? Are we allowed to show that? Okay, so they get a lot of value from Power BI, and this is one that we're actually allowed to show off. So can you just tell me briefly what this is even showing?
So we're looking at a simple telemetry in terms of where the majority of the web traffic comes from. So North America is our biggest traffic source, right? Followed by Europe and then Asia. If we were to take a deeper look into this and go into sessions, we can see exactly where, in terms of the continent that we're on, so China, Canada, France, and Pakistan. So now we have telemetry that we're having viewers from China, Canada, France, and Pakistan, and we can pretty much take that telemetry and further investigate, is this a region we like to go in terms of setting up business and making it available there as well.
Excellent. So this is identifying new markets, markets to grow in, and so this is all website traffic, but you have which versions. So can we see maybe which version of browser we might want to focus development on?
We definitely can. So if we were to go into the page views, there's the browsers listed right there with IE11 being the most.
Really? IE11?
IE11.
I would have never guessed. I would have thought it would be Chrome, then like IE7 or something. But we really, we've got IE11, Chrome, Edge. No way.
And Firefox, well, we have Chrome version 49 in second place, then Edge, Firefox version 4.5, and then Chrome version 3.6. So it really helps in terms of understanding how our users are connecting to the sites, so we can develop the site for better usability, a better user experience.
Yeah, like I got a buddy who does a lot of talks on doing like browser agnostic development. And when he does that talk, I'm like, damn, that's a lot of development effort. But let's just focus on the top three. And you might have something that's functional and services a large majority of your customers. And you'd be like, well, did you try it on Edge?
Exactly. And this will be the first step. I need to actually dive a little deeper into telemetry because I'm really shocked that Edge is in a
Well, it could kind of make sense with all the Windows 10 adoption and Edge comes out of the box. First thing they see is, hey, look, there's Internet Explorer. That's what my grandmother did. She thinks she's using Internet Explorer, but to us, we call it Edge. So you did all this for I can't even pronounce that acronym. What was the acronym again?
The FSMSDC.
FSMSMDC. I'm going to pretend that I got that right. We might need to shorten the name for marketing perspective. But anyway, so you did all this work for them, but you did that as part of Integrity Solutions, the company that you own. So what is it that Integrity Solutions does? Obviously, some of this, but what else can you tell me?
Integrity Solution prides itself on helping organizations build infrastructures out, whether they're just starting off or they have additional infrastructure that needs to be added to. We go in and we analyze, secure, maintain, and then actually expand what they have going on by helping them take technology and gain an ROI from it.
Excellent. And this is just a perfect use case of how you've done it. So you can take a company who's a small company with a lot of competitors in the market and then identify ways to optimize their infrastructure, secure their infrastructure that allows them to take the money that they're saving, spend it in new offices, and grow from being a small organization up to one of the largest in Florida, or no, not one of the largest, but the largest in Florida.
Exactly. We did it with ourselves too as well. Integrity Solutions was headquartered physical location here in South Florida in Hollandale Beach Boulevard. So if you take Pembroke and you go east, that big glass building that sits on US 1, mm-hmm. we occupied an office there, and it cost us monthly. Like, it really cost us unnecessary money that didn't have to be spent. When Azure and Office 365 was introduced, I really looked at it and like, I don't want to bother with it. I just stay with the traditional on-premises stuff. That was my attitude until I understood what it was and what it can do for not only my clients, but for us. So as of 2010, we shut down the office. The office is no longer available. And we intently did that because all of our services is now running in the Azure cloud.